in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm.
Christianity is a call unto the glory life.
Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion.
You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny.
Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Already mighty in this place. Thank you for the fire of your presence and glory. We know our lives can never remain the same again. Thank you for this encounter service. Thank you, Father. Our hearts and our mind are open. Release upon us fresh fire, fresh grace, fresh oil. Grace to be doers of your word, not just to be hearers, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Can you shout glory? Hallelujah. You might be seated in high places. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You are welcome to this glorious service. We are commencing a very powerful, very important apostolic teaching series, Church on Fire. While I was preparing for this series, the Holy Spirit was telling me, he said, this is not just for AGMI, Church on Fire is for the body of Christ. So you will do well to share this message for those that are not able to come. Share this message we are going to preach for this, is it 3 Sundays, with your friends, loved ones, other believers, and as many that can make it, they shouldn't miss the remaining part of the series. Praise God. Joel chapter 2 from verse 1, Church on Fire. Today we'll do the part 1, an introduction. We'll see how far we'll go. Then we'll take off from there next week. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 2. It's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. It says, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people, a strong. You see, it's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the second coming of Christ. Am I communicating? But he said, before this second coming of Christ happens, something is imagine here. Can you see that? He said a great people. He's describing the end time church of Jesus Christ. He said a great people and a strong. And there had not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Verse 3. This is a prophetic picture of the end time church. He says a fire. Can you see how Prophet Joel was describing the picture of the end time church? Is describing a prophetic army here. And he said, this army is a fiery army. It's a fiery army. He said, a fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. My God. Can I have 3 people? Shagabagadigi brakataya. Can I have 3 people? Just, okay. 1, 2, come, Shem. Stand like this. stand like this. No. Stand like this. Stand like this. You stand in front. You stand behind. You are wearing red, so this is fire. Is it? Come close. Is it? Now, this is the army that Prophet Joel is describing, the end time church. He say a fire devoured before them. Before them is what? Fire. And then what happened? And behind them a flame burned. Fire in front, flame behind. So, who is this man? This man is sandwiched between fires. Why? Because he himself is fire. Am I communicating? The end time church is highly flammable. Magadigi barakataya. Are you listening? Is highly flammable. Is the end time church is highly combustible. Aliko Bakida. A fire devoured before them, behind them a flame bonnet. He said the land is as a garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. In other words, it's a mighty invading force. Just like fire is unstoppable, this army is unstoppable. Fire remains the unmistakable identity of the end time church. Listen, nothing will substitute for bankruptcy or fire. Nothing can ever substitute for lack of fire in the church. I'm telling you, and you see, this end time, sometimes you look at some things people do in church, you just laugh. May God have mercy upon his church. Oh. Listen, nothing else can replace fire in the body of Christ. There is no substitute. Balakida, the church is not a social club. Celebrate them. You can go and sit down. Listen, the church of Jesus Christ that was prophesied about in scriptures is not an entertainment house. The church of Christ is not an entertainment center. The church is not a social club. The church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual furnace. The church is a spiritual fire center. Give me Isaiah 31 verse 9. We'll come back here. The ending part says, "Say the Lord, whose fire is in Zion." Whose fire is where? In Zion. The fire of God is not in the world, it's in the church. It is the church that will now spread that fire, revival fire, to the world. Am I communicating? You know, Jesus gave us the great commission. He gave the church an assignment. He gave the church a mandate before he ascended to heaven. How else can the church fulfill a divine mandate if the church is not on fire? Am I communicating? Thank God for excellence. Oh, thank God for stage. Now listen, without fire, then there is no difference between the church and football stadium. They played Champions League final yesterday. Where was the venue? In Sabu. Now listen, without fire, blazing fire, the fire of God's presence and glory in the church. Do you know the church is not different from all those people that gathered there? Are you aware? Kelebagadaga brakataya. Demons don't have respect for anything else except fire. Except what? Fire. You know, no matter how mad a fly is, it has enough intelligence to avoid a hot stove, or a hot food, or a hot pot. And you know, Satan, Beelzebub, is called the Lord of the Flies. Eh? So flies is symbolic of demons. Am I communicating? So, just like natural flies have intelligence to avoid anything hot, demons have enough intelligence to stay away from a believer with blazing fire. that is on fire for God. I told you, for those of you who were around during Friday prayer meeting, I said, listen, if demons are oppressing you, it's your fault. Don't look at me like that. It's your fault. It shows that either your fire has died or is burning at a subnormal temperature. See, fire is an anti-oppressive weapon. You cannot, no demon hatch out of hell can dare to oppress a believer that is burning with blazing fire. Just like no fly can perch on any hot stove. Am I communicating? It will take firelessness or low level fire in Mexico called hypofiremia for demons to oppress you. You can't oppress a believer that is on fire for God, burning with blazing fire. Impossible. Fire makes you inoppressible. Fire makes you unstoppable. Your progress becomes unstoppable. It doesn't matter how many demons gang up against you. Fire makes you unstoppable. Am I communicating? Liko barakataya. Eleketia. Sayeth the Lord, whose fire is in Zion. In other words, the church is a spiritual fire station. The church is not a cold refrigerator. The church of Jesus Christ is not a cold refrigerator. In other words, when you come to church, you should be burning. Your heart should be burning. You should live here with your spiritual fire level upgraded. Am I communicating? Just like when a car runs out of fuel, the car goes to what? Refuel. Anytime you come to church, the church is like a spiritual refueling station. The church is a spiritual refiring station. You come here, we inoculate you with fire, then we release you. You now carry that fire to your closet. You carry the fire to the systems of the world. And then you take over the systems. You walk in dominion. Am I communicating? The church is not a deep freezer. The church is a fiery furnace. Am I communicating? The church of Jesus Christ, just like John the Baptist, is a burning and shining light in this world. It's a burning and a shining light. It's a burning and a shining light in every generation. Am I communicating? And we all know, give me John 5:35. Jesus testified of John the Baptist. He said he was a burning and a shining light. Glory to God. He said he was a burning. Can you see the construction? See the order. He didn't say he was a shining and a burning light. Mm-mm. Notice the order. He was first a burning and then what? A shining. Why? Because the burning produced the shining. Why? Because the burning is what results in the shining. In other words, the shining is a direct byproduct of the burning. The shining is a resultant effect of the burning. And in Matthew 5 verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Talking to the church, talking to believers, he said, "We are the light of the world. We are a city set on a hill. We cannot be hid." Am I communicating? But before you can shine as light, you must first be a burning fire. Many believers are trying to shine their light, shine as light, but they forget that shining is a side effect of burning. You must first burn for God before you can shine. The reason why believers are struggling to shine, or they are ineffective in shining as the light of the world, is because their spiritual fire level is low. They are not burning as they ought. Am I communicating? They are not burning as they ought. Lekobatia. Shining talks about living a life of influence, a life of impact. providing leadership. Am I communicating? Providing value, supplying solution. Am I communicating? Light represents solution. Light represents problem solving. Light represents civilization, development, influence, impact, a life of relevance, adding value. Am I communicating? But for all these things to happen, you must first be a what? Burning fire. Let's even do simple experiment. You see this bulb? There is this thing called tungsten filament inside, right? Just go and touch the bulb. What will you feel? Heat. It's shining, ba? That's to tell you that the shining is as a result of the internal combustion. Fire is burning. Am I communicating? There is no shining without burning. Magabasataya. You are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Verse 15. Next verse. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You see, you can be a believer, but you are in obscurity. If you don't burn for God, you will remain in obscurity. For you to come to the limelight and start shining the light of Christ, you must first be a burning fire. You must burn for God. Next verse. It says, let your light. Oh, I like this. It says, let your light. The word let means permit. Allow your light. In other words, it is in your power to let your light shine or not to let it shine. Here he's saying it is up to you whether you shine in this world or not. He says it's not up to God. It's your responsibility. He said, let your light so shine before men. He didn't just say shine. Let it so shine. That's to tell you the influence that you should impact and influence your world for Jesus. Am I communicating? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have a heavenly Father. How else are we going to give our Father glory? How else will the world clap for God and glorify God if not that they see the believer, they see the church shining with the light of Christ? But before they shine, they must first burn. Am I communicating? They must first burn for Him. Let me tell your neighbor, no burning, no shining. Less burning, less shining. More burning, more shining. Moderate burning, moderate shining. So it's up to you. Praise God. To the degree that you burn is to the degree that you will shine on it. It is God's perfect will for the church to be on fire for Him. The church of Jesus is ordained to be a blazing fire. Jesus desires a church burning with His glory, burning with hot love for Him. Am I communicating? Give me Revelation chapter 1. Let's start from verse 12. You remember the encounter? Okay, let's start from 10. Give me 10. John the Apostle, John the Beloved, was banished to the island of Patmos when his persecutors in the Roman Empire couldn't kill him. They now banished him to the island of Patmos for the sake of the gospel of Christ. And right in the island of Patmos, he was alone there. And then suddenly, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And that expression, the Lord's day, means Sunday. What is today? Sunday. And heard behind me a great voice. He heard. This is an encounter. He heard a voice. A great voice, as of a trumpet. Verse 11. He said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Who is this? Jesus. He said, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. It's good to document divine encounters. Okay? It's good to document that. He said, what thou seest, write. If God speaks to you, write it. Put the date, put the time. If God shows you vision, write it. Put the date, put the time. Some of you, God is speaking to you. You don't document those things God tells you. You don't document those encounters. So you easily forget. When problem and challenge is compressing, you will even forget everything God showed you, God told you. Am I communicating? It's very important. He said, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, these are the seven churches now. Unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. Verse 12. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw what? Seven golden candlesticks. Mark that, seven golden candlestick. Mark it. Next verse. And in the midst of the seven candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, that's Jesus, clothed with a garment down. Did you notice Jesus was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? Am I communicating? In other words, his presence is always in his church. Praise God. His presence is always in his church, because you will later see in verse 20 that the seven golden candlestick represent the seven churches. So the church was represented by a golden candlestick. Or that word candlestick means lampstand. You know, in your mind, you are thinking of this candle that you use when NEPA take light. Delete it in Jesus' name. That's not what this scripture is saying. No, it's not this candle light. Oh, was there this kind of candle in the days of Apostle John? It's just like when Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Immediately, my generation, their mind is thinking of candle. This the type that the Pastor Maffin used to sew clothes. Was there that kind of candle in the days that that scripture was written? You need to, you see, when you read Bible, think about what you are thinking about. Think about what you are reading very well. So this candlestick here is not talking about your the candle you buy from shop and put matches when NEPA takes light. Mm-mm. This is talking of the menorah, the lampstand. Am I communicating? The one in the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament, that it was made from the same golden material, beating work, the same material. And then the thing spread with branches. There's one in the middle, like one, two, like that. You see the golden menorah like this. It's called lampstand. And it's symbolic of the seven spirits of God. Isaiah gave us the seven spirits of God in Isaiah 11 from verse 1 to 2. Don't go there. So the menorah is symbolic of the seven spirits of God. That's what he's talking about here. Am I communicating? So he said, in the midst of the golden lampstand or candlestick is the presence of Jesus, the owner of the church himself, who purchased the church with his own blood. And then he was clothed with garment down to the foot. So learn to dress well. Even Jesus in vision did not appear naked. He was wearing clothes. Praise God. And get about the paps with golden girdle. Next verse. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes, oh, I love this. His eyes, something about his eyes. His eyes were as what? Flames of fire. Kaleboso baladia. Flaming eyes, fiery eyes. Then jump to 20. I don't have time, let's just jump to 20. The mystery of the seven the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlestick. He said the seven stars mean what? The angels of the seven churches. Actually, that word angel means the pastor over the seven churches. And then the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are what? The seven churches. That means the church is represented by a golden candlestick burning with fire. Church on fire. The menorah is representing the church burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost. The golden lampstand. Give me an amplified. This verse in amplified. Parakabasofrakataya. Fire remains the unmistakable identity of the church of Jesus Christ. Look at it. It says, the seven stars are the seven angels or messengers of the seven assemblies or churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And those lampstands are always burning with fire. Am I communicating? There is constant supply of oil. Kaligo barakata. Those lampstands are constantly burning. Give me Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4 verse 4. Those lampstands are constantly burning with fire, with oil. And that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? Okay, thank you. Okay, let's just take it from verse 1 so that you get it in context. Watch this. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep. Verse 2. He said, and said unto me, has angel ever woken you up before? They have woken me. Has it not happened to you? Somebody will just tap you. And you wake up, you won't see anybody. You will think it's a human being that tap you. It's an angel. Sometimes they will even call your name. An angel can come and stand. Joshua, wake up. You wake up. You won't see anybody. You thought it was your family or friend that woke you up. No, it's an angel of the Lord. Praise God. They can wake you up at night to pray, especially if you're an intercessor. Angels can wake you up. Praise God. He said unto me, what seest thou? And he said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick. That word candlestick means lampstand, all of gold, with a bowl. Okay, give me an amplified. With a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps, can you see, thereon. That's what I wanted you to see. Seven lamps thereon. He said, I see, behold, a lampstand all of gold, with its bowl for oil. My God. On the top of it, and its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps, which are upon the top of it. Verse 3. He said, and there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side, feeding it continuously with oil. I want you to see that. The two olive trees, look at their function. He said, is to constantly supply the lampstand with oil so that it will keep burning. So can you see that the burning fire is a function of supplying oil being supplied? Are you seeing this? As long as the olive tree is supplying oil, I hope you know the anointing oil is made from olive. The anointing oil is from olive tree. Praise God. And that is symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, those two olive plants on the right and on the left, they are constantly supplying oil to the seven golden what? Lampstand. So that the oil will make the fire to constantly be burning. So that the fire will not go out. Am I communicating? Next verse. So I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me answered. He said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6. He said, then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a what? Ceaseless supply of oil from the olive tree. It's a message. The whole vision is a message. You know, sometimes you have encounters, visionary encounters, that you don't even understand the meaning. It is wisdom to ask the Holy Spirit for the meaning. If you are not sure what it means, ask the Holy Spirit. There is no foolishness in asking questions. Praise God. So, the Lord, the angel of the Lord is trying to explain to Prophet Zechariah the meaning of the vision he saw and all those symbolism. He said, this is the meaning. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor of Judea. He says, say, not by might, that's human might, nor by power. Power in that context is human power, or military power, or financial power. He says, it's not by all of this. He says, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol. Is it, can it be clearer than this? Of whom the oil. So the oil that is constantly supplying the burning lampstand is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the source of the oil that keeps the fire burning. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave a very interesting parable. Praise God. He gave a very interesting parable. Matthew 24 verse 1. Of the 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. 25 rather. Give Matthew 25. I meant 25. Parable of the 10 virgins. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet what? The bridegroom. I know the Bible says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Right? That word lamp or candle is a picture of your spirit. Praise God. It says, these are 10 virgins. 10 virgins. And by their actions, you will realize 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Now, it says, we took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom represents Jesus, the second, the rapture of the church and then second coming of Christ. Is Jesus Christ, right? The husband of the church, right? Watch this. Give me 2 Corinthians, we'll come back here, 11 verse 2. Let me explain something very important there. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. Okay? Look at what Apostle Paul said. He said, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you, or I have engaged you. I have engaged or betrothed you. Espoused you to one husband. Who is that one husband? That I may present you as a chaste what? Virgin to Christ. So in other words, in that Matthew 24, when Jesus talked about 10 virgins, he's talking about the church. Is it clear? As a chaste virgin to Christ. In the Jewish culture, they marry as virgins. Am I communicating? And the bridegroom is Jesus himself. Okay, go back to my... I just wanted you to see the meaning of the 10 virgins. Go back to the reading. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. We took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Am I communicating? Now, the lamp can also represent the word of God. Because David the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So, and then the spirit of man is a lamp or candle of the Lord. So it can represent those two things. Then shall, verse 2, let's move on, verse 2. It says, and five of them were wise, and then five were foolish. We'll see why the wise are called wise and why the foolish ones were called foolish later. Verse 3, it says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. You see that? Their actions separated them. You see, actions prove whether you have wisdom or you are bankrupt of wisdom. We know you are a wise man or a foolish man, not just by your talking, but by your actions. Am I communicating? It says, the wise, they that were foolish, took their lamps, but no oil with them. No oil. No oil. And we say oil is a symbol of the Spirit, right? Symbol of the Holy Spirit. No oil. Next verse. But the wise took oil in their vessels. They took oil with their in their vessels with their lamps. So the fire of the Holy Ghost was burning in their spirit. Next verse. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Just like we are waiting for the coming of Jesus, we are waiting for the rapture. Some people will sleep, right? Sleep means to die. Then there will be those that will be awake. Praise God. Next verse. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. This is like the rapture, the trumpet. Am I communicating? The Bible said, angel, is it Gabriel, will descend with a loud shout. It won't descend. There will be a loud blast of the trumpet, okay? Jesus, during the rapture, is going to be in the mid-air. He's going to be in the air. He won't land on earth, okay? There's a difference between, I think I've explained this thing, the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is called the secret coming of Christ. Secret is coming for his church. That's why it's called secret coming. Then 7 years after the rapture will be the second coming of Christ. That's the one that Jesus will land on earth on Mount Olive. And is coming primarily because of Israel, the Jews. Am I communicating? And is not coming for the church, because the church was raptured 7 years before then. In the second coming, Jesus is coming with the church that was raptured 7 years ago. That's why he said, behold, Revelation, John saw him, behold, he cometh with clouds. These are clouds of witnesses. It's not literal cloud. Am I communicating? That is the second coming. Enoch saw it. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with thousands and thousands of his saints. He's talking of the saints that were raptured 7 years ago. So that's the second coming. Are you getting me? You need to know the difference. So this one is not second coming. This one is rapture. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, it's dangerous for your fire to die out. I once thought, I said, the surest way not to miss rapture is to be on fire for God perpetually, continually, constantly on fire. I may not give you too many formula as a believer, but apply this one and thank me later when we meet in heaven. If you are, I can tell you for free, see, if you are continually on fire for God, there is no way you can miss rapture. See, those that will miss rapture are believers whose lamp have gone out. That's, they are fireless. They are not burning for God again. They have allowed the world, worldliness, and all the sinful pleasure to swallow up their fire. They won't even hear the trumpet. Hope you know. The believer that is on top of a woman fornicating, without one hear trumpet sound, you no go hear. You no go hear. he will miss first flight. So believers that miss first flight, the one that is stealing, doing yahoo yahoo without one ear trumpet sound. I'm not scaring you. I'm showing you the sure way not to miss rapture. Ensure that the fire upon the altar of your heart is burning perpetually. Don't be like the foolish virgin. Be like the wise one. Yes. Am I communicating? That's why Romans 12:11, it says, be aglow, constantly burning with the Spirit's fire. That's your best guarantee or insurance against missing rapture. How will you not hear the trumpet sound when you are burning? Am I communicating? So you won't be afraid of rapture. Anytime you mention rapture, some believers are afraid. Should I tell you why they are afraid? It's unscriptural to be afraid of rapture as a believer. I hope you know. If you ever fear anytime they talk on rapture or preach on rapture, it shows that your fire level is gone down. You have lost your fire. Because if you are burning Kaligo Badaya, you'll be excited. When they mention rapture, you'll be excited. Am I communicating? Don't get ready, live ready. And the way to live ready is to remain constantly on fire for God. Constantly on fire. He said the fire must ever be burning. Because when the bridegroom finally showed up, the foolish ones, their own fire have gone out. They are now begging for oil. And listen, you cannot be on fire for somebody on their behalf. It's a personal thing. Pastor Mafe cannot be on fire on behalf of Pastor Shikrodnen. It is non what? It's impossible. You can inspire him, but he has to go to them that sell and buy for himself. Fire. They are licensed dealers. Everybody, am I communicating? Must be on fire for themselves. Praise God. I say praise God. It is a non-transferable responsibility. The foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. Aya. And you. He said, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. The good news is that as rapture happened, so you have enough time. An opportunity to go to them that sell and buy for yourself. Are you listening? And we are part of the people that sell. Praise God. I say, now we they sell. Licensed oil dealers. We are oil dealers. So we are the real oil dealers. You think it's all this Chevron, Shell. You know, those ones, they learn work. It's just natural oil is a symbol of the real thing. Everything in the physical is just a picture of the real thing. Am I communicating? When they say come for festival of fire, that's opportunity to buy for yourself. They say come for prayer meeting. It's opportunity. Look at this series, for instance. It's opportunity to buy enough oil so that you will be without excuse. Thou art inexcusable, O man. Am I communicating? You can't be in a ministry like this and be fireless. Praise God. Go to them that sell and buy for yourself. Be on fire for God. Lagibara kataya. Give me Luke 12:35. Jesus speaking in Luke 12:35. He says, let your loins be girded about. The Bible talks about being girded about your loins with truth. With the truth of God's word. And then he says, and your light's what? Burning. Now, mark this verse very well. Is that a full stop? Now, read down. And ye yourself, like unto men that wait for their Lord. Are you seeing something there? I'm showing you the failure-proof way not to miss rapture. Let your fire be burning. Am I communicating? It says, ye that wait for their Lord, and when he shall return from wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that may open unto him immediately. Verse 35-37. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Jesus said, watch and pray. Verily I say unto you that he shall get himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Next verse. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, or find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 39. He's talking of the coming of the Lord. And this I know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Remember, Jesus said his coming is like a thief in the night. He's talking of the rapture of the church. So he said, to ensure that you are not caught unawares, let your fire be burning. Next verse. But ye therefore, be ye therefore ready also. Be ready. And the best way to be ready is to be perpetually on fire for God. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. You see that? So he's talking of the rapture of the church. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, the best way, the surest way not to miss rapture is to be continually and perpetually on fire for God. See, you can't be on fire and be sinning the same time. Impossible. Impossible. Listen, the fire that I'm talking about, he and sin, they are mutually exclusive. Either sin will kill, will stop you from being on fire, or the fire will consume and kill sin and every appetite for sin. Are you getting me? It's impossible to be on fire for God and sin at the same time. Impossible. Go and check all those times that you are sinning, falling and rising, falling. Your fire level has died, or it is very low, subnormal temperature. So you can't even, the energy to resist sin, it will come from burning fire. Romans 12:11. It says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow. Let me tell you, neighbor, be aglow. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Then you will have the energy to serve the Lord. Then you can now serve the Lord with excitement, with enthusiasm and energy. All of that will come from burning fire. Praise God. Fire will impart enthusiasm. Fire will impart excitement. Fire will give you the energy you need to serve the Lord. That is what makes serving the Lord effective, efficient, and exciting. Am I communicating? Christianity looks boring to many Christians because this fire is not burning. So what they are left with is religion. Praise God. That will not be your portion. Listen, it is impossible for the church to fulfill a divine mandate. You know, Jesus gave us a great commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15 down to 20, then Matthew 28:18-20. Am I communicating? What we popularly call the Great Commission is a corporate mandate of the church for global evangelism, discipleship, dominating and taking over the world system, sectors and territories, the cosmos and ethnos with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is impossible for the church to fulfill or accomplish this divine mandate without being on fire for God. Impossible. Libarakataya. In Luke 12:49, Jesus said, I came to set the earth on fire. And how I wish that fire were already burning. Can you shout amen? We are looking at church on fire. Let's do small divination of terms. What is the church? The church is a body of Christ. It's made up of believers, saints, scattered all over the world. Praise God. Those who are genuinely born again, they have confessed the Lordship of Christ. They are members of the church. The church is not a building. The meeting venue is not a church. The church is made up of believers. Am I communicating? Born again Christians. The church is a gathering of the called out ones, ecclesia. I think we looked at it, right? When we did, what was that series? Earlier, huh? Missionary church, we talked about the definition of the church. Praise God. The church is a gathering of the saints, gathering of believers, an assembly of believers. Okay? Like, just look at this venue now. This venue is not the church. You and I, we are the church. We are the one that carry the presence of God here. Praise God. And tomorrow when we leave here and move to a bigger and a better place, am I communicating? This will no longer be called church, except believers meet here. Praise God. So what makes the church is that it is the body of Christ, having the life of God, having the nature of God, having bearing the same name with the head, which is the name of Jesus, having the same authority that Jesus has. Jesus has given his authority to the church. Am I communicating? Having the same power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Holy Spirit indwells his church. Praise God. So you need to understand what the church is. You need to understand what the church is. Some people are very funny. They ask, is AGMI a church? They say, no, it's not a church. It's because you don't know the meaning of a church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is fire? Right. What is fire? In this context, you've been hearing church on fire, church on fire. What is fire? Fire, number one, means spiritual fervency. Spiritual fervency. Fire means spiritual fervency. So when we say being on fire for God, it's talking of being fervent in the spirit. Romans 12:11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Fire means spiritual fervency. When you are fervent in the spirit, you are on fire for God. When you are no longer fervent in the spirit, you have lost fire. So serving the Lord becomes an uphill task. Praise God. Do you know the meaning of the word to backslide? You know, we use some terms, some of us don't understand the meaning. When we say a believer is backsliding or has backslidden, it doesn't necessarily mean the person has renounced Jesus. That's not the meaning, no. It's different from apostasy. Apostasy means you have lost the faith. You are no longer in the faith. You have lost your salvation. It's different from the state of apostasy, renouncing Christ and all of that. When a believer is backsliding, shall I tell you the meaning? That means your spiritual fire level is dropping down. That's what it means. Let's say yesterday your spiritual temperature, because that's another meaning of fire, write it down. Fire means hot spiritual temperature. Write it down. Let's say yesterday your spiritual temperature is 120 degrees. Today, the thing dropped to 100 degrees. Do you know this person have started backsliding? Why is he back? Why do you say he's backsliding? his spiritual fire is going down. That's what it means to backslide. He's still in the faith, though. He's still a believer. He has not lost his salvation. But his fire level is going down by the day. Because that's not the will of God. The will of God is that your fire should ever be increasing. Are you getting me? As you grow spiritually, God wants your fire level to be ever on the increasing mode. Ever escalating, ever increasing. Not to go down. You know, when I was in medical school, I hated something. There is this saying, when I was in 100 level, 200 level, if you check medical fellowship, we have some medical students here, then our medical fellowship, departmental fellowship, we notice this trend that the preclinical student, that's those between 100 and 300 level, they were more committed than the clinical student. They were more serious. Come to fellowship, you will see more preclinical student than clinic student. Am I lying, Dr. Sheeks? Has the trend changed? Look at him here. He's in 500 going to 600 level. It's the same trend. We notice that. So, we that are just coming, 100 level, we're happy, we've gotten admission to medicine. So, we know the joke with God, though. Fellowship, front seat. Prayer. But by the time you start going up, 400 level, the fire start going down. So, it became like a phenomenon, as if in medical school, the higher you go, the cooler you become. I hated that phenomenon. So our seniors will look at us, say, we like the youthful exuberance. It's because they are just coming in. They've not understood the system. What a bad testimony. So they allow the system to swallow them up and swallow up their fire. That's what they are saying. And when they become doctor, worse. They will start explaining, you know, we don't have time, you know, busy, you know, all of, you understand? I didn't like the trend. I didn't like it. Me and a few of my classmates, we say, no, we will not allow this thing happen to us. Life is choice driven. I say, no. I say, I will not allow this trend to happen to me. I say, for me, the higher I go, the hotter I become. That's what I told myself. And then I started taking steps. Because it has to be intentional. Staying on fire, it requires intentionality and planning. It doesn't happen automatically. The world will swallow up your fire if you allow them. So you must be intentional. You must be deliberate. That's why Leviticus 6:12, he said the priest should not allow the fire to go out. He said he should put in wood every morning. There are things to do if you must keep the fire burning. Am I communicating? Don't leave your house until you have prayed, you are drunk in the Holy Ghost, you are fed on the word. See, there are daily routine, there are daily regiment you must follow in a very disciplined manner if you must keep your fire burning. It's not automatic. You must subscribe for fire every morning. The subscription for fire, it usually ends after every 24 hours. So you must do daily what? Subscription. Don't say, I was on fire yesterday, I prayed 7 hours. What of today? You ate yesterday. Does that stop? Okay, you say because you ate yesterday, no need to eat today. Is that how it is done? I eat hunger, mama you. Don't need anybody to tell you. So just like you have to eat every day, that's how it is. You subscribe for fire every day. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily fire. It's the same principle. And bread there, manna. God told the children of Israel, gather manna every morning. Manna is symbolic of the word of God, revelation. Praise God. God Jesus said, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. So just like you cannot live on yesterday's manna today. One of the worst places to be is where God used to be. God is very, you see, walking, our walk with God is very dynamic, okay? At a point, God told Abraham, his friend, go and sacrifice your son. Then Joseph, before he killed his son, God says, stop. Imagine if he didn't hear God the second time. Imagine if he was living on yesterday's revelation. I'm very sure what God told me. He said, I should kill my son. I must kill him. Angel, he says, stop, stop. He said, huh? He didn't hear that one. He has become Kuruma, deaf and dumb. So he killed the son. He thinks he's doing the will of God. That's why I say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That word means he's saying. It's a present continuous thing. He didn't say what the Spirit said. What the Spirit is saying. See, you cannot maintain currency in the Spirit when you are not on fire every day. Praise God. So number one, we say fire means what? Spiritual fervency. Number two, fire means what? Hot spiritual temperature. Give me Revelation 3:15. Let's see three kinds of temperature that believers can, the church of Jesus Christ or believers can have. Three possible kind of temperature. Three possibilities. From the Laodicean church. I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot. So, watch this. Let's see three kinds of spiritual temperature there. Number one, cold. Number two, lukewarm. Number three, hot. Ask your neighbor, which one are you? For every believer, for the church, at every given point in time, you are either cold or lukewarm or hot. This one is not the will of God for you to be cold. This one is not the will of God. The will of God is what? Hot. Fire represents hot or high spiritual temperature. Jesus said you are neither cold nor hot. In fact, this lukewarm is even worse than cold. Should I tell you why? In a warfare, the worst place to be is on the fence. In a war, when two sides are fighting, two armies, the worst place to be is on the fence. Because to this one, to the people here, they see you as an enemy. To the one here, they see you as an enemy. So the two of them are attacking you. Is it not better to even join one? So that is what it means to be lukewarm. And that is where many Christians find themselves. You go to church so by Monday, baby, you pull over, baby, you pull over. You understand? You go to nightclub, you go for party, all manner. You are like the people of the world. Then Sunday, you will carry Bible, one sanctimonial. God is a merciful God, though. Lukewarm. Lukewarm Christian. When when you are supposed to come for festival of fire, is a Kai. It's too long. You sit at home. Only you. Buga challenge. Oh no 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 Buga. When you have serious challenge, financial challenge you have, health challenge you have, academic, see your CGP, you have academic challenge, you have relationship challenge, all manner of challenge, and you sat down and you are what? Doing Buga challenge that will not help your life. You are what? Lukewarm. Lukewarm Christian. See, it's very simple. I will tell ushers and protocol. Collect everybody phone. Let's analyze the music, the things inside your phone. You'll be surprised what we will see. Even angels go shock. The TV shocks some angels. You are laughing and looking at me. Let's check your phone. What is inside there? Praise God. Hallelujah. Lukewarm Christians. May the Lord help you. But the good news is that you have come to spiritual fire station. Even if you came here cold or you came here lukewarm, you are catching fresh fire. You will be inoculated with fresh fire. Your spirit will be galvanized with fresh fire. How can you be a Christian and you are practicing cohabitation? You know cohabitation? You and your boyfriend, you are living in the same room as husband and wife when you are not married and enjoying husband and wife privileges. And on Sunday, two of you will carry Bible, you go into church, you now sit together. Lukewarm Christians. Your temperature is what? Lukewarm. You need help. When this fire catch you, you won't do, you, in fact, you go and pack your things. I heard the story of a lady. The lady went for a program. She's cohabiting with her boyfriend. She caught fire in the program. When she came back, her eyes were blazing fire. She packed her things. Said, no way, I can't stay here again and be fornicating, living, cooking for him. He has not even paid bride price. God punish bad thing. She packed her things. She was about going. The boyfriend was begging. I said, please stay now. Did I offend you? She said, no. Did I do, you know? What is it? The guy who knelt down was begging. Then he said, what has come over you? She looked at him. Fire. He said, I caught fire. Am I communicating? And she checked out. Am I communicating? There is no excuse to go and live with a man. Say, I don't have money for accommodation. I don't come and sleep inside church. There is no excuse. Even if you don't have anybody in the world, come inside church. There is toilet, there is bathroom. You understand? Come and sleep here. We'll get, see, there is security man there. Church will give you welfare for food. We'll bring food for you. There is no excuse for you to go and be staying with a man. Are you getting me? If you do that, your value will drop to almost zero. The guy will, in fact, chances of him marrying you is near zero. Why should he marry you again now? He has already, he don't chop. You allow him taste you like suya. He don't chop. You know, sometimes before you buy something, they give you small to taste. You taste and taste and taste and no buy again. That's what some guys do. Allowing a guy to have sex with you is the easiest way to scatter the relationship. I'm telling you the truth. Now, what is fire? We'll soon round up. Number three, fire means spiritual vibrancy and buoyancy. Fire means what? Spiritual vibrancy and buoyancy. Number three. Four, what is fire? Fire means spiritual zeal, your zeal for God. Spiritual zeal and zest. Spiritual zeal and zest for God and the things of God. Number four, fire means spiritual intensity or intense spirituality. Spiritual intensity or intense spirituality. From today, start practicing intense spirituality, not surface spirituality. Number six, fire. What is fire? Fire means a burning desire and passionate longing for God and the things of God. A burning desire and passionate longing. In Psalm 42 verse 1, David said, as the deer pant after the water brook, so longed my soul after thee, O God. Psalm 63 verse 1, he said, O Lord my God, early will I seek thee. My soul cried out for God. My flesh pants for God in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory. That's a man on fire for God. It means burning desire, passionate longing and yearning for God and the things of God. Number six, what is fire? Fire means red hot. Number seven, red hot love for God and the things of God. Red hot love for God and the things of God. When you are on fire for God, your love for God is red hot. And the things of God, you will be a lover of His presence, a lover of His word, a lover of the house of God. You won't struggle to come to church or come for meeting. You will be a lover of His kingdom. You will be a lover of God's people. And you will be a lover of sinners, those for whom Jesus died. You will love to win souls. Praise God. Number eight, what is fire? Fire means spiritual violence, spiritual fierceness, ferocity and aggression. Fire means spiritual violence, spiritual fierceness, ferocity and aggression. It talks about holy anger. When you are on fire for God, you won't just love God and the things God loves. You will hate the things God hates. Am I communicating? Love for God equals hatred for evil. Holy anger and holy jealousy. You'll be jealous for the things of God. You'll be jealous for the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? Elijah told the Lord in his journey. He said, Elijah, where have you been? He said, I've been jealous for God. He said, the whole of Israel have gone after Baal, led by Ahab. He said, they have broken down your altar, and I am left. Even though he was not correct, he was not the only one left. There were how many prophets hidden inside caves? But at least he was jealous for God. He refused to bow to Baal. Matthew 12:11, right from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered what? Violence. And the violent take it by force. See, fire is an indicator of your spiritual condition. It's an indicator of your spiritual state, your spiritual health. Fire is an indicator of your spiritual state, condition, and health. Give me Matthew 12:11. Matthew 12:11 in Amplified. We say fire means spiritual violence. It says 11:12 rather. Matthew 11:12. It's talking of from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. When you are on fire for God, you are spiritually violent. You are spiritually aggressive. Am I communicating? Amplified said, from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. From where? The kingdom of darkness. And violent men seize it how? By force. When you are on fire for God, you seize it by force. As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal. You see another definition of fire there. Ardent zeal. And what? Intense exertion. Can you shout amen? Amen. Listen, being on fire for God is your greatest insurance against demonic oppression. Being on fire for God is your greatest immunity, insurance and immunity against demonic oppression, bondage and captivity. The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and so what? Tars. Why didn't the enemy sow tars when they were awake? Satan will wait for you to sleep and doze off spiritually, to slumber spiritually, before he will come and attack and sow tars. But when you are on fire for God, spiritually alert and awake, it will ensure you against demonic assault. Praise God. Let's look at some characteristics of fire as I round up. Number one, fire is highly contagious. Fire is what? Highly contagious. It quickly spreads. Fire spreads quickly and easily. Fire is highly contagious. The spirit of man is highly inflammable, and the Holy Ghost can set us on fire with his own fire. Praise God. It takes a man on fire to set his congregation on fire. It takes a pastor on fire to set his congregation on fire. It takes a leader on fire for God to set his followers on fire. Listen, every church will reflect the spiritual temperature of their pastor. Any church that you see, the members are very fireless, they are very cold. It shows you the spiritual condition of what? Their pastor. The followers will reflect the spiritual temperature of their leader. In any department where the members, the workers there are fireless, they are very cold and lukewarm. It just shows you that the leader over that department too is what? Fireless. Because fire is highly contagious. Highly contagious. If you come around me, you must catch fire. Oh. Zafi, zafi. Wuta, wuta. Oku, oku. Ino. How do you say it in your tribe? Ovo. Oh boy. Maybe, yeah. Praise God. Kele barakataya. Hi. No false prophet can survive in AGMIO. Prophet suddenly. Fire go catch you. What's the name of that demonic lady self in the movie? Miokuku sheshe go fry. Fire go fry amo. Praise God. It surprised me when I hear story of demonic people entering some churches and even becoming leaders. And nobody knows. What? I used to ask question. How come the church is, they are so comfortable in the church? How come? Is there no fire in Zion? I thought the Lord say his fire is in Zion and his furnace is in Jerusalem. How can a witch, leader of a witch in a coven, become the head of Matan Zumunta in church and yet nobody knows and be comfortable in church? An agent of darkness, heading the prayer band in church, prone to the ministry of fire in the church. If you try here, you go fry. Allah Gabaya. It's so easy. See, if a demonic person or a false prophet or whatever comes to AGMI, just give us one meeting. We'll fish out the person. Yes, only one. I'm telling you the truth. You know fit. But they know it. They won't come. They know the places they go. Praise God. Next, number two, fire is in degrees. I like this one. I'll end here. I have plenty others, but we'll stop here. Fire is in degrees. There are different temperatures of burning fire. There are different intensities of burning fire. The higher the temperature, the hotter the fire. The highest, who knows the highest kind of fires, the hottest kind of fire there is on earth, on planet earth? You know, there are different, there is candle light fire. This kind of your candle that you use when NEPA take light. Can that one boil beans? And that one cook food for you? At least it can illuminate. There are different temperature of fire. Am I communicating? There is kerosene stove fire. Then there is gas cooker fire. There is electric cooker fire. That one you can cook food with all of that. But can it cut metal? Have you seen the kind of fire that welders use to cut metal, to melt, to weld things, am I communicating? Do you know there is a kind of fire that can cut metal? It is not this candlelight fire or the one you are using to cook food. No, that's not the type that melt metal, because the stove you are using is not even metal. Aluminium pot. And it's not melting it. There is a kind of fire that is not for just boiling beans, it's for melting metal. Have you heard of oxyacetylene flame? Ayagabagadaya. Oxyacetylene flame. Can you give me that picture? Oxyacetylene flame. This is the type that welders use to cut metal. Can you see it? What's the color? It's not red, though. In fact, most of the time when we say fire, we represent it with red. But the hottest kind of fire, they are not red, though. They are blue. They are different zone of fire. The hottest zone is a blue zone. Ayagabarakata. Followed by the white zone. Followed by the yellow zone. Then the red. So the red is even. Have you heard of plasma fires? Now, the temperature of oxyacetylene flame, should I tell you the temperature? 3200 degrees Celsius. 3200 degrees Celsius is used for cutting and welding metals. Blue flames are the hottest color of fire, followed by white, after that yellow, orange and red are the common colors you see in most fires. Now let me tell you about plasma fires. These are the hottest kind of fire you will see. They are composed of hot ionized gases and they reach temperatures as high as 20,000 degrees Celsius. Plasma fires. That's 36,000 degrees Fahrenheit, making them much hotter than any other type of fire on earth. The only one that beat them is the temperature of the sun. Do you know the temperature of the sun? You've been hearing astronauts went to moon. Have you heard anyone went to the sun? they go become suya. The temperature of the sun, according to NASA, the temperature of the sun varies from around 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. That's 15 million degrees Celsius. That's either 15 million degrees Celsius, which is the same thing as 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, at the core, to only about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That is 5,500 degrees at the surface. So the temperature of the sun at the surface is what? 5,500 degrees Celsius, but at the core is what? 15 million degrees Celsius. And you won't go. Go and try it. And guess what? Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness. Unto thee that them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And Jesus is the head, the church is the body. That's why most of the time the presence of God is like fire. Agabagadia. Give me Deuteronomy 4:24. He said, our God is a what? Consuming fire. The Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Listen, fire is God's core nature. Fire is God's identity and personification. You see that in Deuteronomy 4:24, Deuteronomy 9 verse 3, then Hebrews 12:29. Give me Hebrews 12:29. So our God is a fire God, is a fiery spirit. Even his throne, Daniel saw his throne, he saw what? Fire. A river of fire flowing from his throne. Am I communicating? Our God is a consuming fire. Do you know even his word is fire? Jeremiah 5:14, Jeremiah 23:29, God say, is my word not like fire? When Jesus spoke in Luke 24:32 to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Bible said, they said, did not our heart burn? Jesus was speaking words coated with fire, inundated with fire. Even the angels of God, those ministering spirits, they are described in scripture as flames of fire. Hebrews 1:7, he maketh his angels spirit, his ministers flames of fire. And in that context, the ministers there is talking of the angels. Paul quoting Psalm 104 verse 4, he maketh his angels spirits, pneuma, ruach in Hebrew, pneuma in Greek, spirit. And then his ministers what? Flames of fire. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit throughout scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:6 amplified. Then on the day of Pentecost, how did the Holy Ghost come? How did he come? Talk to me. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were what? Gathered together in one accord. Give me two. Acts 2 verse 1. Shale go 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 brakataya. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Next verse. And there appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues like as of fire. You see, the King James didn't bring it perfectly. Let me read it from the Passion Translation. You will get it clearer now. Because if you read this, you just think one small fire landed on them. But that's not what he's talking about. Look at it. Acts 2 verse 3. Then it says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Then all at once a pillar of fire. Somebody say pillar of fire. Wait, does that ring a bell? Remember, the manifest presence of God that followed the church in the wilderness was represented by what? Manifested as what? A pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Do you know that even the church in the wilderness was characterized by fire? Even the inauguration of the church in the wilderness, that's the children of Israel in the Old Testament, the church Moses pastored, the inauguration was with fire. Remember, before God sent Moses on that rescue mission to bring them out of Egyptian bondage and captivity to the promised land, God had to give Moses a fiery encounter at the burning bush. It was a fire encounter because the mission required fire for him to take over Egypt. And then the presence of God followed his people in the wilderness in a pillar of fire by day. See, fire it remains the unmistakable identity of a believer. I believe that thing that what's his name, Reinhard Bonnke, said. He said, for every believer, there is a fire that characterizes them in the realm of the spirit, and it's true. He said, for every believer, there is a fire that identifies you in the realm of the spirit. Fire remains the unmistakable identity, the signature, the insignia of the church. The inauguration of the church in the wilderness was with fire. The Shekinah presence of God was manifested as a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. Now, that same fire that was in the church in the wilderness came on the day of Pentecost. And that is what I'm reading from the Passion Translation in Acts 2 verse 3. He said, then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. So it's not one small clothing like you think. No. It's a pillar of fire. And it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. So it was a pillar of fire that separated into tongues of fire that what? Engulfed them. Engulfing pillar of fire. That was what came on the day of Pentecost. The presence of God was manifested that way. Am I communicating? And do you know, this was when the church of Jesus Christ was born, the church on earth was birthed. This was when the church was inaugurated. So the inauguration of the church, following this supernatural move of the Holy Ghost, was symbolized by fire. Because the assignment needed fire. Global evangelism is not by water, it's by fire. That's why Reinhard Bonnke wrote a book, Evangelism by Water. Is that the title? Ladia Asabagida. The reason why you are not winning soul is your fire has died for soul winning, or it is burning at a subnormal temperature. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Ikolava palatia. The spirit of man is highly inflammable. It's a combustible material. Zepila kondo fretelekida halagabadia. Efekelo vratila gabaya. Malasataya. Elegebegedegede. Fire is in degrees, my brother. Fire is in degrees. There are different levels of spiritual temperature. I don't know your current spiritual temperature, but the good news is that you can increase it. You have come to a spiritual fire station. Am I communicating? One of the things I'm trusting God for, that in this service, God will inoculate us with his fire. You didn't hear me. I say God will inoculate, galvanize our spirit with fresh fire. You see, fire consumes, fire refines. Fire will consume everything that is not of God in your life. Whether it is sin or sinful habit or sinful addiction, or it is sickness or it is oppression. Fire is both constructive and destructive in operation. We are going to pray just few minutes. 1, 2, 3, 5 minutes. We are going to pray, but I want you to pray with fire. The fire that just came to you through the word of God. I want you, now listen, look at your life. Look at the things that you like, the things you don't like. Because fire is about to consume all the wrong stuff. It will burn off all the chaff. Am I communicating? Nothing cures spiritual slackness, sluggishness like fire. Fire imparts urgency. Fire does not burn slowly. Fire burns quickly. Fire gives speed. Fire gives speed. Fire gives urgency. Am I communicating? Malakusefelegetekebrakatai. Am I communicating? We are going to lift up our voice. Oh, are you satisfied with your Christianity? With this kind of Christianity? Is this a kind of Christianity that we are going to use to take over the world, to evangelize the world, to take over the systems, to take over the seven mountains? Is this the Ayagabagida? It has to be a church on fire now. It takes a church on fire to set the world on fire. Jesus said, I came to set the earth on fire. Give me Luke 12:49. Look at the mission of Jesus. Look at, he says, I came to set the earth on fire. I came to set the earth on fire. And are you aware that this mission is impossible until Jesus went to the cross? He had to undergo a baptism of death, suffering, death, burial, and resurrection. And then after he ascended, he now sent the Holy Spirit. He now came as a pillar of fire and engulfed them and set the church on fire so that the church can carry out the mission of the head. Our mission is to carry out what Jesus came to do. And what did he come to do? He said, I came to set the earth on fire. And how is he going to accomplish it? Through the church that is on fire. Not through a lukewarm church. A lukewarm or cold church cannot take over the world. Calabasidia. I came to flamatize the earth. I came to inoculate the earth with fresh fire. And how I'm going to accomplish it is by setting the church on fire. It's by setting believers on fire. This is how you will take over your institution. This is how you will take over Unichurch and set it on fire. It's by God setting you on fire. Moses could not take over Egypt until he had a fire encounter. I want you to lift up your voice. Father, set me on fire. To set my wall on fire. Release upon me a fresh fire. Inoculate me with fresh fire so that I can take over my world for Jesus.
For you in this series. Listen, it takes a fire encounter to take over the world, to dominate Egypt. Moses, as one man, humbled the pride of the dead world power. He bowed on the powers of Egypt. Why? He encountered Jehovah in that burning bush and he received impartation of fire. He was no longer afraid of Pharaoh. He went spells, and you are taking over your sphere of influence. You are taking over your world. Listen, Moses as one man, he rise all the gods of Egypt. He bowed their powers. He dominated Egypt. He brought those 10 plagues on them. He disciplined Egypt. He humbled Egypt. As one man on fire for God, he brought out God's covenant people. He ayakilo boraka palataya. He could accomplish God's will, God's plan, God's purposes. Why? Because fire was burning. Father, give me a fire encounter. Give me a fire encounter in this service. Let me encounter the fire of your presence, the fire of your glory. Flamatize me. Release upon me a fresh fire. He took over Egypt by fire. He took over Egypt by fire. Moses took over Egypt. The 10 world power. He subdued all the demoniacal forces, all the occultic powers of Egypt. He swallowed them up. He kept them there as one man on fire for God. One man with fire is majority. One man with fire is majority.
All eyes closed, all heads bow. It's a very important moment. If you are in this place, you want to surrender your life totally to Jesus. You want to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Or perhaps you did that before, but you went back to the world and you want to return to Jesus. You want to surrender fully to him. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand. God bless you. 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 If you are lifting up your right hand, please take another step of faith. Carry your Bible, your bag, your journal, everything you came to church with. Come and meet me in front. Ushers, protocol, please direct them as they come. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus died for you openly. He died for you openly in the midst between two criminals. It's not too much. It's not too much for you to respond publicly to the invitation. Now look at me, say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sin, and on the third day you were raised to give me life. I confess with my mouth, from this day henceforth you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus name. Congratulations. God bless you. Can you just follow Pastor?
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.